This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe for, what is it, Wednesday, August 29th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. Good to have you. I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Doug. Good evening. Hello, everyone. Good to be back. Another week. We're still on the planet, Doug. I'm on a countdown.
That's it. Still a few more months. And we, of course, got Dr. John Hightower screening calls. So if you'd like to participate in the discussion tonight, you're more than welcome to call in. The numbers are on your screen. You can certainly participate in the chat room, too, if you're listening to this live broadcast. And if you are, we're glad to have you. And if you're listening to the archive, we're still glad to have you. Glad you could tune in. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available, including spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, and quite a few more. For more information, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Now, tonight we're going to introduce a little bit of a new format to this weekly program. This really is the primary church service, if you will, the primary program for MCHS Church. So what we're going to do as part of our new format is we're going to have a profession of beliefs, which is basically a quick reading of our nine principles of belief. This is the spiritual philosophy that MCHS Church is based upon. Once we do that, we're going to get into our topic of discussion, which tonight is going to be on love and trust, and we'll get into that in just a moment. And then at the end, somewhere right around 40 minutes into the program, we're going to start doing a regular guided meditation, and that's just a great opportunity to relax and soak in some of the points we make during the discussion and the program for the week, as well as some general healthy self-concept bolstering, if you will. So we'll do that, and that'll last about 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll wrap up the show, the program, and sign off. So that's kind of a new format that we're going to be doing from here on out. So to begin with this new format, I'd like to do the profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon nine principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number one, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number four, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are, therefore, equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number seven, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number eight, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you'd like more information on these principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. All right, so tonight, our discussion, topic of discussion, is healthy love and trust. We're going to talk about the wisdom of loving and trusting in the adult world, of course, in a healthy way. We're going to talk about questions like, when is it good to love and trust others? Is it ever not good to love and trust others? Some interesting questions. And Vicki, this is a topic that you felt strongly about.
Well, I do feel strongly about it because it comes up in every discussion I ever have with any client, friend, family member. I think it's the number one topic. And usually people are talking the negative of it, Doug, when they feel betrayed and there is a lack of trust and, you know, a lack of faith and, you know, what is love? You know, and people are always trying to define love. So, you know, it's the number one human topic of discussion, period, bar none. So, you know, here's the thing. We're all born, you know, to this planet loving and trusting. We all, you know, we just trust whoever's there to take care of us, and we naturally bond and we love. And, you know, as time goes, we find out that that's not necessarily in a positive way. Our conditioning teaches us different ways of what trust is or, you know, what love is. But we do it anyway. We think everything that we learn is through those two primary primal mechanisms, love and trust. So I think that it's absolutely a topic we need to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can obviously see that in babies. I mean, obviously they're helpless, and they love and trust their parents to do the right thing for them. And I would say that's usually the case. Sometimes it's not, but usually it's the case. And it's a good thing that that happened for us. Perhaps we wouldn't be here otherwise. But let's talk about this love and trust. Why do you think this is such an issue, especially for adults? It's what we want to talk about really in adult context. Why do you think, Vicki, that love and trust is such an issue in our times, or can be an issue in our times?
Well, you know, I think we've all evolved with some very big mixed messages. What we think, what we say, and what we do are all very different. There's a lack of consistency, but spiritually, we are rooted in love and trust. But our thinking, our words, and our actions get convoluted. And so this is where we, you know, we're constantly trying to define or redefine love and trust. But, you know, what is it? Because, hey, you know, I think here's the thing, and in this movement, Doug, whether it's a religious movement, spiritual movement, New Age movement, whatever kind of movement, everyone is looking for that ultimate feeling of love, mm-hmm. that ultimate feeling of acceptance, of trust, of bonding. And but here's the key that I think is that we believe that love is all good at the human level. And we have forgotten one really important fact. We decide how love is going to act down here. Spiritual love is unconditional. Spiritual love is vast, endless, universal. But we're human beings. You know, we have to decide how we want to define the act of love and what acting in a loving way is. And this is where I think people get very, very confused. Well, you know, he really doesn't mean it. Or, you know, she's said this, but she really didn't mean it. And there's a lot of excuses over bad behavior, dysfunctional behavior, but we still hang on to this dysfunction plus the notion of love equals love, and they collide. And I think that's really the key to it. We have to redefine what it is to be a human being in the act of love.
Let's do that. There's a couple of things here that come into play on love and trust. One of the concepts that we'll discuss in a moment is where does it begin? But there is this concept that you just mentioned of unconditional love, and there's a lot of folks who believe that that's actually a reality. The fact of the matter is there's no such thing as unconditional love. There's conditional unconditional love, but there is no such thing as unconditional love, nor should there be. Because if somebody's beating you and hurting you and harming you, it's difficult to have unconditional love for that person, nor should you, you know, in the interests of self-protection or protection of your family, your children, whatever. So we have to kind of let go of that notion of unconditional love. It just doesn't exist no matter how far you want to take it. You know, we can have a loving attitude toward people. We can be tolerant, which is part of loving people. We can love humanity. We can recognize other people's right to believe as they choose, provided it does no harm. And we can just accept that. I mean, that's really the point. We have to be tolerant, and we have to show love in that way. People want to believe in that stuff, that's fine. But, you know, if that belief turns into doing harm to others, then we have to make an exception there. We can't allow that. Now let's bring that into our own sphere of influence. We have friends, we have acquaintances, we have coworkers, bosses, family members, and so forth. You know, do we just accept everything? Well, the answer is no. So we need to know where to draw those lines, where to draw those boundaries. And that's something that a lot of people don't know. They think that they might draw that line in the sand, that boundary, but then somebody kind of encroaches that boundary and they basically back up and draw another line. So the boundary really is meaningless. We need to understand that when we talk about love and trust, it begins with us. Do we love ourselves enough? And I'm not talking about narcissism. I don't even want to get into that. We're not talking about thinking too much of oneself. We're thinking about having a healthy self-concept here. We've got to start with us. Do we love ourselves enough to maintain our boundaries, our healthy boundaries? Do we love ourselves enough to give other people the benefit of the doubt, to respect free will, to respect other people's rights to think and believe as they choose? We also need to remember that we can respect people's rights, but if those beliefs are harmful or they harm us in some way, and I'm talking about our inner circle here, or not inner circle, but our sphere of influence, if those beliefs that they hold are harmful to us, we don't have to be in a relationship with them. That's also part of loving ourselves first. Any comments?
You know, Kathy's just asking a question in the chat about what about unconditional love for oneself. If I can just throw something out there, it's just about not having judgment. It's just about not punishing yourself for being human, making errors, and so you are unconditionally loving yourself. You know, we're all in a process of evolution. We're all growing, changing, getting older, wiser, we hope. So I think that is the notion of unconditional love for yourself. And I think then unconditional love for others, provided they have taken accountability and taken responsibility. So, I mean, basically, I can love you, I just don't like what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a condition to the doing. The heart, the spirit, that's just vast and endless. But in this human physical world, we can't accept certain behaviors. So, and I think what Doug is also saying is that we have to check in with ourselves about what are our core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have different sets of rules for different circumstances? Like, you would not let somebody on the street beat you up. How come you let your husband beat you up?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, we have these colliding kinds of rules, and they don't make any sense. And this is where I think if we were just a little more consistent about what it is we think we behave, you know, what we believe in and how we're behaving, then we can start to grasp the notion of unconditional better, because now we have conditions to the physical world. Everything, and you said it, Doug, there are conditions in this world everywhere you look. You know, Doug has often said it, you know, we live on a planet where everything eats everything.
Everything else, yeah.
It's the condition of the planet. And simply, I know it's a very strong kind of, you know, example to say, I love you, but I can't let you hit me. I love you, but I can't let you behave that way toward me. And I love myself more than to take that kind of behavior. So This is, it really comes down to what kind of relationship you have with yourself first and what you will command, not demand. Demanding is kind of imposing on others, but what we command around ourselves for an energy that is a requirement of what kind of love and what kind of love we stand for and what kind of love we want in our lives. Now, we all screw up. We all screw up because we trust everybody. Now, here's that other word. So, boy, love and trust. Because we're a contradiction in terms, Doug. You know, it's we trust everyone, but their behaviors show that maybe they can't be trusted, but we love them anyway, but they have bad behavior. You know, so it kind of gets mixed up.
Yeah, and let me, before we get on into trust, let me just add a comment or two on Kathy's question.
Sure.
About what about unconditional love for oneself. And you mentioned not judging ourselves, and that's true. You know, the biggest problem that most people have with this whole thing with loving themselves is that they compare themselves to others all the time. Plus, they have them esteem, which means external validation, and they look for that external validation and to feel worthy. They're always looking to somebody else to pat them on the back, or they esteem them more than they esteem self. So if they're doing what their family or religious leaders or whoever thinks they should be doing, then they feel good about themselves. But if they're not, then they don't feel good about themselves because they're not getting the accolades of these other people, them. And so really self-love starts with self-esteem, internal validation, and expectations. You live up to your own expectations. You set your own expectations, and you stop comparing yourself with everybody else. Man, that is just, it's a pandemic, you know. Stop comparing yourself. Just because somebody does it and you don't do it quite as well, so what? You do other things better. You know, we all have our talents. We all have our gifts. Stop comparing yourself with others. That is a huge step toward loving yourself. And then
there's very extreme. Sure, there's very extreme examples of that. You know, where we compare and we want to belong and we want to fit in. And it's like going out for dinner and everybody else is, you know, eating liver, and you say, well, I don't like liver, but you eat it anyway because everybody's eating liver. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a lot of things to compromise ourselves to fit in and belong. But equally, sure. And the thing is, though, Doug, your opinion matters to me. And this is where I think we can make a distinction. Your opinion matters to me because we coexist. And your opinion matters, like if I have done something or I'm not doing something quite well enough or I can improve myself, then I value your opinion to help me become a better human being. And I would hope that it goes the other way, which is not a competition. We're not comparing. It's not just about belonging. It's about trusting and the support to bring us up so we're all a little better. So this is where I think that, you know, one experience is really synonymous with another. You know, so it's we don't want to compare. At the same time, we want to be in a good place with people that we can trust enough to say, hey, can I improve this? So, but we tend to do it through comparatives. You know, oh, geez, they eat with the salad fork. You know, well, what's the salad fork for? You know, and so we do that. But we take it too far, and I think that's right. What we have to make really clear.
And Kathy makes a point, maybe the person needs to find other people like themselves that don't like liver either. And this is the whole thing, to kind of bring on this. If and I'm talking in general to anybody out there, if you are somebody who needs my praise and commendation for you to feel good about yourself, we have a problem, because that's not who I am. In other words, that's not what I teach. I teach people to be their own counselor, to be their own guru, to be their own spiritual counselor. I teach people that they are enough, that they have everything within them that they need in life. Doesn't mean you can't ask for advice. So that's why I'm here. I'm here to help. But the answers are ultimately within you. So I teach that self-completeness. That's everything we teach in this church, is self-completeness. Be complete within yourself. So if you're a person who needs my praise, needs my commendation, we have a problem. Because, you know, I mean, I will commend people, and I do all the time, and praise them. But if you need it in order to feel good about yourself, then we have a problem, and you probably won't fit in with my circle of people. You know, if you're somebody who doesn't, quote, need me, unquote, which you shouldn't, then we'll get along just great, because I don't, quote, need, unquote, anyone else either. Doesn't mean that I don't have friends and seek advice now and then. It just means that I can be enough. I'm good, you know, just who I am, but I continue to grow. I'm not done growing, but I am complete within myself. And that's the point of self-love, not comparing yourself, not having them esteem, but yet having self-esteem, internal expectations and validation. You need to validate yourself. That will lead you to trusting yourself.
One of the things that I say, you know, my children are way grown and gone, as yours are, and mine are all married. But there was a stage, I call it around the age of 18, 19, and 20, where as a parent, I recognized that this would be an emotional rite of passage. And that's how I coined it. It's when I started saying, I don't know. And it's very difficult. Well, Mom, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Well, you always know something. Well, I know what I would do, but I don't know what you would do. And I think that there's a lot of that. There hasn't been enough validation for a lot of people, and I think that's the key, is that it's okay to be you and do what you do, because it's of no consequence to me. So when, you know, when somebody seeks kind of my approval, I say, look, I don't care what you do, because it's inconsequential to me. As long as you're doing no harm and you're doing right, you know, I mean, when it becomes part of my problem, if it does influence my daily life, then we'll discuss it. But that doesn't mean there's judgment within it. So I think that it's just taking what you're saying, Doug, just that extra step further. Because when I say I don't care, it doesn't mean I'm indifferent. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It doesn't mean that I don't care. I'll be there in the snap of a finger if you need anything, because we all have those times. It just means to say, I respect you enough to respect your decision that you make for yourself. And I'm not going to get in the way. I'm not going to impose a judgment. I'm not going to rely on what you do for what I do. You know, here's the big thing that happens in the dynamic of people. I ask you what you think, and the first thing you might say is, well, geez, I don't know. And people usually say, I don't know, because number one, they don't. Or they're worried about how that's going to affect them. So you come to me for advice, you know, and say, well, what do you think? And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how is this going to affect my life? I better answer this the right way. You know, because now we're strategizing how we're going to get along. Because if I really care and love you, I'm going to love you enough to say, geez, I think that's great for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not worried about how that's going to affect me. I mean, I'll think about that later. If I had this discussion with somebody years ago, an extreme example, but here's how it went. They said, well, you know, I think I'm going to take this job in China. Well, good for you. And they said, well, what do you think? Well, I don't think. You have decided, you thinking about this job in China, good for you. Well, what about you and I seeing each other? I said, well, I guess, you know, we'll talk on the phone once in a while. Yeah, but what do you think? I don't think. You know, you, it's like somebody made a statement. Number one, nobody's inviting me to China. I take that same example into when I've been counseling people. The woman says, well, you know, I've been dating this guy, and he's decided to take this job in, you know, blah, blah, Africa. You know, do you think I should go? I say, well, did he invite you?
Mm.
Well, no. Well, then why are you thinking of going?
Yeah.
Yes, but we're in a relationship. Do you see, now we've assumed. There's all these assumptions because we're not held accountable for what we say in the first place. And again, this is part of these other, you know, dynamics that, you know, I don't care what you do, provided it doesn't affect me. But if you're now making decisions for your life, you've already told me that it's not going to affect me because we're not going to be there. You know, and it's to really listen. It's to really be able to listen that, you know, because we read too much in it, and that's where our emotions get involved, because we emotionally attach to an outcome of things before we've even had the experience. And that's a huge issue with people, is this assuming. If, you know, it's like filling in the blanks before anybody's had the full, you know, the full discussion. So communications, right at the top of the list, be a better communicator and hear what's going on. So that's it. And again, back to what I was saying, just because I don't care doesn't mean I don't love you and I don't care. It just means that you're a free human being who has the right to make your own decisions.
Good points. And also a good point about communication. We're talking about love and trust, and communication is part and parcel to loving and trusting. And I've always said, well, for many, many years, I've said there are many important qualities that go into any relationship. The two most important of those qualities are communication and trust. You know, if you don't communicate, the relationship will die. You know, lack of communication will kill any relationship, period. And that's a huge problem. But we're focusing on love and trust. So let's talk about trust, which is the second. It's not the second. It's one of the top two most important. That in communication, trust. You have to have trust. A lot of folks have a problem with trust for a variety of reasons. A lot of times they've had the trust betrayed so many times that they just don't think they can trust anyone. And so they have trust issues that they have to work through. Let's put down some basics about trust. Number one, never betray another person's trust, ever. Because once you do, the relationship you had, you will no longer have there, and you can never get that relationship back in the same way that it was. If you betray another person's trust, the relationship you had is over. Doesn't mean you can't still have a relationship with them, but it means that the one you had is over, because there'll always be that doubt in their mind. They betrayed me once, will they do it again? Now, if the trust is grievous and serious, then it may very well end the relationship, as it should, if it's a very grievous betrayal of trust. So if you don't want those issues, never betray another person's trust. At least you can control that much on your own part. Never betray another person's trust, but never betray trust in yourself. Never, never not trust you. You know, put trust in yourself. Trust yourself to do the right thing. Trust yourself to solve the problem. Trust yourself to find an answer. And trust yourself to have the wherewithal, the smarts, the intelligence to go out there and look and do research, or look for answers, or look for answers, whatever you're looking for. Trust in yourself, first and foremost. If you trust yourself,
you know, I think,
and trust your own feelings, your own intuition, it's going to go a long way in letting you know who you can trust and cannot trust.
I think it's the purity is gone when the trust is broken, Doug.
Mm-hmm. It is.
There's something, we all begin a relationship with optimism and a purity, and when it's betrayed, even to, because we're all trying to figure it out, right? We're all trying to say, okay, if I give this, what's coming back? If I do this, what's going to happen? You know, but we're observers. It's not like we're necessarily manipulating. We're just observers. But it's pure. So once the purity is, geez, if it's jaded, you never get it back. It doesn't happen. It's a rebuilding and a reconstructing, but it's from a different building block kind of thing.
Yeah. So,
you know, Catherine's saying in there, trusting myself was one of the greatest life lessons. Uh-huh. I think this is the biggest life lesson for all of us. You know, it's a big
it
one.
It can be.
Big.
So, you know, are we saying, we're talking about healthy love and trust, are we saying that you should trust everyone? No, we're not saying that. People need to earn trust too. And one of my really kind of rules of thumb is that when I meet somebody, you know, we all do this. You know, you get certain vibes. You get indicators of whether the person can be trusted. If you get indicators that you cannot trust this person because of things they've said or the way they've acted, then listen to that intuition. But all things being equal, you meet somebody, can you trust them? Well, the big question is, do you have a reason to not trust them? And so my rule of thumb is I'll give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to. Doesn't mean I'm going to be stupid either. Doesn't mean I'm going to jump in with you know, both feet and head first. But I'm going to attribute that trust to people until they give me a reason not to, provided they haven't given me a reason not to. So think about that. If you have trust issues, listen to your intuition. Make sure it's not jaded, but listen to your intuition. And if you don't have a reason to not trust them, then go walk with them a little bit, so to speak. In other words, afford them that trust. And then they will begin to earn it more and more. The more you know them, the longer you know them, you will earn that trust, or they will earn that trust. And if they don't, then you know. So that's kind of some,
you know, I think
wisdom
that
there.
There's... Yeah, I think there's also such a thing when people carry that mistrust forward, we're not being in the here now. You know, if I have, you know, all these fears because of all the things that have been done to me or, you know, all this life experience, it just means to say I haven't resolved it. But what happens is whatever I'm looking at in other people is gauged on what the baggage I'm carrying with me. I'm not being fair to the individual in the here now that I've just met to take them for who and what they are. And that's a really important thing. You know, when people fall in love and then somebody's making excuses for the other one for bad behavior, well, you know, he's been through such a hard time and the women in his life. And my only remark to that is that he's not seeing you for who you are or he wouldn't be
right.
Worried about it. And if he's really in love, he'd have dumped the baggage.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Well, you and
I draw a really hard line about it.
You can people who don't trust because of past indiscretions, past injustices, and so now they don't trust anybody. They're basically putting a wrapper on everybody else in their present life, a mistrust or a distrust wrapper, and it may not be deserved. I mean, there are people that are trustworthy. There are many of them. You know, we just need to make sure our vibe is such, our energy signature is such that we are attracting healthy people into our life. How do we change our energy signature? By changing our beliefs about us, by gaining knowledge, growing, evolving, improving ourselves, learning life skills that help us to change what we're doing. I mean, this very program is a big part of that, learning to set healthy boundaries, protecting those boundaries, and so forth. So,
well, I think that what we have to keep in mind that yesterday is yesterday, today is today, and how can I become a better human being today? And, you know, I wrap it all up to this. You know, we're all asked about a lot of philosophies or mysticism, metaphysics, spirituality, and no matter what people believe in, I only have one question. At the end of the day, can you say, honestly, I have done my best to become a better human being today? And if you can answer yes, then you've made progress. Then you're moving forward. If you can't answer that question, you know, you haven't learned something or you haven't improved yourself in some way, you're unconscious and you need to wake up, you know, and learn about loving and trusting, because that's all we got. That's what we are. You know, we are to be loving and trusting. Here's the deal, Doug. We're going to run into all kinds of people all the time. It's who we let in the door. That's the question. And we have to scrutinize that based on life experience, being able to, it's like, why do I attract that same guy all the time? You know, that same guy. Well, I had a frequency. That's not to say I'm not going to run into those guys. I just don't attach to it anymore.
Exactly.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Good point. So we've talked about some different aspects of love and trust. You know, we love humanity. You know, there is a difference between love and like. I mean, you can love somebody and not like them. You know, that can happen. We just need to know who we are and why we are who we are. I mean, that's first and foremost part of loving and trusting. We love ourselves. We trust ourselves. We validate ourselves. We live up to our own expectations. And, you know, what other people think of us is none of our business. We don't compare ourselves to others improperly. It's okay to be us. We seek our own approval. Make sure you do no harm, but look for opportunities to do right. And trust yourself. Don't betray others. And don't betray your own trust either. You know, live up to your own principles. That's another part of trust. Another rule of thumb I've lived by for many, many years, decades, in fact, is if it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. And that's...
I love that one.
And that's where we can actually trust ourselves and show love for ourselves by adhering to our own principles and not sacrificing our principles or our soul for anyone else, regardless of who they are. And I mean that. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're your father, mother, sibling, child, best friend. I don't care. You never sacrifice who you are for somebody else, because what happens is, and especially if they put that pressure on you, they're basically blackmailing you to be like them. And that's not a show of love on their part. So show love for yourself in those instances.
You know, Doug, I'm going to say that I have used your words with many of my clients, that if it's preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle or law,
policy,
then stand firm.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it's life-changing. If you think even in your daily dynamic with your spouse, with your siblings, with your friends, just stop and think. Everything that comes out of your mouth, is this a preference? Am I it? Because there you're going to recognize how you compete and impose on other people. You know, it's like, I'm going to compete to have my opinion heard, or I'm going to compete to show that I'm right. But that's just a preference. You know, if you just stop and think about it, it is life-altering. Absolutely.
Pick your battles. And now, some people say, well, gee, you mean if it's a preference, I always yield? And I say no, because if you end up always yielding, now we have a principle. We have an issue of principle, don't we? So that's when you don't yield. So, you know, it's give and take. In other words, if you want it green and I want it blue, honestly, I'm not going to fight you. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. So what if it's green or blue? I don't care. And we have to really become okay with that. You know, now if it's something we're doing and it's our little baby and our thing and we can make that call, we want it blue, it'll be blue. We want it red, it'll be red. Fine. And then the other person has an opportunity to defer or to yield. And so it's all give and take. Pick your battles. Don't take yourself too seriously, which we often do, especially when comparing ourselves. And just live and let live. You know, I mean, these principles we're talking about have been around for eons, these concepts. We just need to continually remind ourselves of these concepts and live our lives successfully, happily, and do the best we can with what we have to work with every day, but yet grow in some way every day. Just a quick one. You know, what did you do today that you're proud of yourself for? Can you just answer that question right now in your own mind? Today, what did you do today that you're proud of yourself for? Answer that in your own mind. And if you think, I can't think of anything I'm proud of myself for that I did today, well, then something's got to change, doesn't it? I mean, you can find something. You should be able to find something you did today that you're proud of yourself for. Did you open the door for somebody? Did you smile at somebody who desperately needed a smile? Did you, you know, let somebody in front of you out on the road? Whatever it is. Did you do a nice for somebody? Did you do a nice for you, for yourself? Those are all reasons to be proud of yourself. And if you got kids, children, why not ask them every day, sweetheart, what'd you do today you're proud of yourself for? Wow. You know, you do that every day with your children as they grow up, you'll be building self-esteem in them, a healthy self-concept, because it is okay to be proud of yourself. Doesn't mean you're a narcissist. Doesn't mean you think too much of yourself. Don't buy into all that crap you hear out there in the world, including other religions that denigrate the person. You know, MCHS Church is a human-centered philosophy. We empower people. We empower the human spirit. We encourage, you know, you have just as much right to all the good things in life as anyone else, no more, no less. We all do. But we have to take it. We have to seize it. We have to attract it. We need to expect it. We need to think that way. So we've talked
find
about
some
love and
humor.
Pardon? Yeah, find some
find humor.
I always need that.
You know, something I'm just going to share this as you're talking, Doug. It just brought a little story to mind that I was having a conversation with a woman the other day, and I was relaying a story, and I said, you know, I just love it when I'm brilliant. And it always brings laughter. Mm-hmm. It always does. But it tweaks their, you know, it's like they start thinking, well, I love it when I'm brilliant. I mean, I think I'm amazed when I have a brilliant moment. I probably have 12 dumb moments to that one brilliant moment.
Hey, but we'll celebrate that one brilliant moment.
But you see, it's to see the humor and to revel in these wonderments of ourselves that, you know, that's learning to love and trust yourself, too. It's just telling it like it is. It's just honest. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to worry about. Before we move on to the meditation, Doug, there is something that Catherine's mentioned in the chat. Yeah. That maybe somebody is looking for support as opposed to a validation. And that is a really big distinction to make. Mm-hmm. Support is when we can, you know, just kind of vent. Everybody needs to vent and release that emotion. That's when I always say time it. You get 10 minutes, go. Mm-hmm. Versus that needing that, like, I need you to agree with me is validation. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that we have good people around to say, you know, I just need some support right now. Like, can I just vent this out? Because yep. Once I talk about it, it's going to be different than what's in my head.
Exactly.
And to have that somebody you can trust, that they're not going to pass judgment because it all comes out wrong, you know, you're mm-hmm. thinking out loud, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I need you to agree with me.
Right.
The agree with me is the validation, and that's the important distinction to make, which all falls into trust. So I needed to, I just thought it was something important to bring up before we went on to the meditation.
Good point. Now, in a moment, we're going to do the meditation. Before we get to that, so at this point, you might want to find yourself in a comfortable place. Make sure you're not going to be disturbed, so get that taken care of. Before we get into the meditation, though, we do have a caller on the line. Barbara wants to make a comment. Welcome to the program, Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Are you with us?
Thank you.
There you go. How are you?
Okay, Dr. Kelly.
Great.
And Dr. Kelly and Dr. Vicky.
Yes.
Hi, Barbara.
Yes. Hey, how you doing, Dr. Vicky? You know, they say, you know, that you put stuff out in the universe, it comes back. And I was like, unbelievable, because this is a subject that I really needed about trust and stuff. And I wanted to share some stuff. For example, I know that I have problems with codependency. I'm lost. But the thing is, like, sometimes I wonder if I'm not taking it to the extreme, because, it's like I understand the concept of codependency, and I really do. But the thing with that is when you're dealing with children, it's like, how is it possible to love them, continue to love them, but yet still have so many boundaries in place that you just break all trust? I mean, that's the way my relationship is with my kids. They don't even trust me anymore, and we almost don't even have a relationship because of the fact that I got boundaries. And there's consequences for crossing those boundaries, and it has broken up, you know, a lot of my relationship with my kids. I'm the kind of person, I got to thinking about. And it does make sense what you were saying. You really can't have unconditional love. You know, it's just impossible.
Right.
Because if you do, you really are leaving yourself out there to be stepped on, walked on,
yep.
and everything. So that's a good concept. I never thought about that before, but you are exactly right in that. As far as my relationship with my kids, this is the way I deal with it. Like, and then I thought about it over the weeks. I'm like, well, okay, the best way to solve this is, number one, stop making promises. You know, just
mm-hmm.
say that you don't even volunteer promising to do this or that anymore, because what happens if they violate the boundary, guess what? There's some severe consequences. I'm the kind of mother, I've been like this. Now, just like with my daughter, it's like, okay, you raise your voice, that's disrespectful. Guess what? Throw you and the grandchildren out in the street. That's the way I do, you know. And it's like, isn't that a little bit severe? I mean,
me. Barbara, let me interrupt you just for a second. Your children, are they grown and out of the house, or grown anyway? Are they adults?
Yes.
Okay. Not everything is always cut and dry. Not everything is always easy to solve. You know, you just mentioned daughter and grandchildren. It can tug on your heart a lot, obviously. You know, here's the tool to overcome any codependence. Never do something for another person that they could and should do for themselves.
That is true.
I'll repeat that. Never do something for another person that they could and should do for themselves. Now, sometimes somebody should do something for themselves, but they can't, so mm-hmm. you can help them. Sometimes they could do it and should do it, but they don't want to. They're trying to get you to do it for them. And you have to ask yourself, if I help them, if I do this, will I be enabling them and to continue in an unhealthy habit or an unhealthy pattern? Now, if the answer is yes, then you don't do it. Now, you have grandchildren, and if putting them out all on the street is going to be a harm to your grandchildren, that's another issue. And it's one that don't really have time to get into a lot, but you're going
right.
to have to look at your options, because you obviously don't want to harm them in the process. However, your children, your daughter, the parents of these children, these grandchildren, are their primary protectors. They're the primary. So sometimes, depending on the situation, you've got to stand your ground and draw those boundaries and let things, you know, let the cards fall where they may, making sure that you don't deliberately or through omission put your grandchildren in harm's way. And if your grandchildren will become in harm's way because of that, then in some cases it may be necessary to contact the authorities or whatever. You know, you have to make those decisions. In all of these things, try your best to do no harm and to do right. But don't forget that you got to do yourself right, too.
Yeah, that's true. You got to do yourself right. Look out for number one first.
And so,
it's never too late. Never too late to learn, either. Never too late.
Sure way.
But, Barbara, we appreciate you calling in. And I'm sorry we don't have more time to get into. We got to get into our meditation. But if you'd like to learn more about what I've been talking about, it's all in the Metaphysics Institute degree program. All of these concepts we're talking about today, tonight, and many other shows are all in there. And so I encourage you to go take a gander at metaphysicsinstitute.org. You can also email us if we can be of more help. So thank you very much. We got to get into this meditation, and then we'll wrap the show up. We appreciate everybody's comments and thoughts and everything. So at this point, I'd like you to find yourself in a relaxed place and start some nice music. And we're just going to take a few minutes and relax. That's what this guided meditation is all about. just relax. You know, it's just nice to relax for a time. So settle into your comfortable position. Find a point on the wall directly across from you that you can focus on. I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. Release it slowly through your mouth and just feel your body settle. It just feels so good to relax. Feels so nice. Focus on that point across from you. Feel your breathing. Take another deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. Release it through your mouth. And again, just relax. Focus on that point. Take a deep breath again. Allow your eyes to close gently while you breathe out. Every time you breathe in relaxation, you breathe out stress. You breathe in goodness and power, and you release worry. Breathing in and out feels so good to just relax. This is your time. Nobody wants anything from you. Nobody demanded anything. This is for you. Your time. And it is as it should be. Taking another deep breath. Feeling relaxation coming in. Just like a wave. And just infiltrating through your whole body. I want you to just imagine a big light, ball of light, right above your head. Imagine that light burning brightly. That is you, your higher self. I want you to imagine just reaching up and drawing that light down, that orb, right into your midsection, right in your chest. That light is your energy, strength. It is who you really are. It is powerful. It is wise. I want you to see that light now filling up your entire body. It protects you. It nurtures you. It comforts you. Feel that light. See it filling up every part of your body. Just relaxing every part of your body. Think about it nurturing every cell of your body. Making you healthy, happy, feeling terrific, relaxing. And it's all right. It's perfectly all right to just settle, to just be you. Continue to focus on that light and see that light now stretching out beams of light all around the universe. Touching and interconnecting with all other life. See tentacles reaching out and drawing in all the good things of life to you. See yourself as an important and vital part of the universe, of all that is interconnected. And as you see, you are a part of everything else. Also understand that you are you. You are unique. And this is as it should be. As a result, you look inside yourself for your own validation. You choose who you will be, who you are. You know who you are. You know why you are who you are. You know that it's perfectly all right to be you. You seek your own approval. You understand that you are entitled to all the good things in life, no more, no less. You make it a practice to do no harm, to do right. You don't compare yourselves to others, but you are complete within yourself. You trust yourself, and this is good. You are trustworthy. And as you trust yourself, you trust others as they deserve to be trusted. And you never betray anyone's trust for any reason, because that is who you are. Now, as you continue to see this light emanating from you, you allow that light within you, that soul light, to resume its normal place above you, feeling refreshed, relaxed, and completely positive. I want you to take another deep breath, begin to allow your eyes to open, feeling refreshed, feeling positive, feeling strong, knowing who you are and why you are who you are. You can achieve anything you desire. The world is yours. Reach out. Seize it. Be who you are. Allow others to see the real you and be proud of who you are. Welcome back. I hope that guided meditation was beneficial to you and helpful. At least, hopefully you were able to relax a little bit. Well, on this program, Vicki, we've talked about love and trust and communication and many, many other points, little nuggets and things that I know if folks apply these things, they will have more success in their life.
Life-altering, Doug. You know, thanks to Barbara for calling in. You know, I have a quick little story. Years ago, I phoned my oldest daughter, and I said, you know all that stuff I used to teach you about blah, blah, blah? She said, yeah. I said, delete, delete, delete. Mom, you can't do that. I've based my whole life on that philosophy. I said, yeah, go get therapy. You know, I'm learning too. and, you know, the thing is, we're always growing and changing, everyone. We're always growing and changing. You know, we do our best to share who we are at the moment and let other people grow and change and be on their journey also. But we share. That's what we have to do, is we have to share with each other, get the support from each other, but we don't need the validation from others. So just keep that in mind. Love is what we created it to be. We have to act it out, decide how we want to be. So I've really enjoyed the show tonight, Doug. Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody who's joined us.
Yes, and thanks to John Hightower as well for screening calls and producing behind the scenes there. Thanks to everybody listening live, those listening to the archive. Please join us next week for another valid topic on life, being successful, and getting to know yourself more. If you'd like to know more about MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org, Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. If you'd like to get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree in metaphysics, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. You can specialize in a number of areas, spiritual counseling, coaching, hypnosis, paranormal stuff, a lot of different directions you can go there. All right, that's all I've got. Vicki, thanks for being part of this. Thanks to everybody
Thank
else.
You.
Have a great night, everybody. See you next week.